In the short 9 months since the Office of Management and Budget mandated agencies to move to an electronic invoicing system by 2018, agencies have made real progress. A majority of the cabinet-level agencies have moved to the Treasury Department's invoice processing platform. John Hill is the Bureau of the Fiscal Service's Assistant Commissioner for Payments and Chief Disbursing Officer. In his interview with Executive Editor Jason Miller, Hill discusses how the IPP is preparing for its new customers.
The majority of federal agencies have selected IPP as their e-invoicing solution. Just looking at the 24 CFO Act agencies, as of today, 13 of the 24 are either using IPP or have signed commitments to use it. There are several others that are evaluating IPP, and I suspect many of them will come on board as well. But right now, 13 of the 24, and I'm not even including the smaller independent agencies and commissions or the legislative branch. So clearly, there's been a big uptick in agency interest and commitment to IPP. But that's only one milestone. There's another one as well. The number of commercial suppliers to the federal government. We've seen a real increase in the number of commercial suppliers who are enrolling in IPP so that they can, you know, submit invoices to agencies and also get information on their payment status. Just last week, we broke the 100,000 mark. The 100,000 commercial suppliers to the federal government are now enrolled with IPP. So big milestones that I think signal a transformation in how invoices are processed by the federal government, more than just an adoption at the agency level, but the beginning of a real transformation in how it's done.
Let's pull in those two numbers separately. Let's start with the bigger number, the 13 agencies that have signed up to use IPP and more that are coming. Can you give me a sense of some of the who, or at least the size of agencies? Are we looking at, you know, whenever someone talks about the big five, you know, DHS, VA, those type of agencies, or are we talking about, you know, maybe the still sizable but smaller ones, whether it's a HUD or an EPA or the like?
Sure. These are CFO Act agencies, so almost by definition, they're large. Recent signups have been Department of State, EPA. We've also had a signup from USAID, one of the smaller ones. HHS has signed on as well. So all very large agencies.
And when they sign on, what does that mean? They can use it in 3 months and 6 months, or they can use it immediately? Give me the sense of because a lot of times you hear, well, they've signed an MOU, they've signed a memorandum of agreement, but then it's still a year until they actually something changes for them.
That's a great question. In a lot of ways, Jason, it really is more like they signed an MOU. Implementing IPP is like implementing any IT system. There is computer changes that have to take place, testing that has to take place, sort of a shakedown process that has to occur. So all they really signed is a commitment that they will use IPP. And that's an important commitment because it allows us to schedule with them for when we'll work with them and with their IT suppliers to make the changes to their system to implement IPP. So it's not an instantaneous thing, but it in a lot of ways, though, it's a serious commitment. This is a signed agreement between the Treasury and the agency.
And we know that last June timeframe, the Office of Management and Budget issued a memo saying to agencies, you need to move to an e-invoicing platform. Obviously, IPP was one, but there was a kind of, they used a very broad one saying anything that's e-invoicing, just get off paper. So for those agencies that have signed up with IPP, what does that mean in terms of how long will it take to get them on this platform? OMB gave agencies, I think, a 2018 deadline.
That's exactly right. The deadline was 2018. Most of the agencies that signed agreements recently have scheduled implementation dates later in 16 or in early 17, some later in 17, generally in the next year or so.
And this will require them, you mentioned just briefly earlier, to do what to their systems? Systems changes, we know that. But take me down to maybe another level. If I'm EPA, if I'm HHS, what am I going to have to do?
Okay. It all depends on the core accounting system you use and the core procurement system you use. Of course, many of these agencies use commercial software packages, usually offered by SAP, by Oracle or by CGI Momentum in most cases. For one of the vendors, there are built-in interfaces so that when they use that package, IPP is offered automatically, no change is required. But of course, they have to use that version of the software. So for some of these departments, they have to upgrade their version of the software to get the latest version that has the built-in interface. For those packages that do not have an interface, they will have to build one, which involves some programming to do that. But the good news is, so many agencies are using IPP today that in many cases, the interfaces are built, perhaps in use at another agency. And with agreements and cooperation and collaboration, a lot of that work that was done perhaps in one agency can be transferred to the other. So it's not like starting from scratch.
Which I was going to say is very good news, because if you had to do custom-built apps for every agency, you'd never get this done. I think, you know, we can go down a separate path on the financial management shared services, but let's not do that. One of the things about the move is this is going to be a big benefit in terms of how these invoices are processed. Now, I know there's a vendor side, but let's talk about the agency side of these 13 agencies that have signed up. As they get this up and running, what's the benefit to them?
Clearly, the benefit to them is efficiency. We've done a study within the Treasury Department that really, I think, is authoritative in the data that it gave us. We looked at a before and after picture of one of our operations that does about 27,000 invoices a year, which is a sizable invoice processing operation. Before they used IPP, and it was largely a manual process, I believe they needed on the order of 27 full-time equivalent employees. And what they did after IPP was double their productivity. They could, in fact, do the same workload with fewer staff. And the important thing there is they could free up their staff so the staff, instead of worrying about managing paper, could really look at the procurements in more detail, find ways to perhaps manage the procurement better, get better savings, better value from the supplier, and really become less of a paper process, less of an administrative process, and much more of a program management process to create value from the procurement.
One of the things about getting 13 CFO agencies on, and probably more, as you said, is you guys already had something like 80 agencies total using it. So a lot of the smaller agencies, what does this mean for your office in terms of, or the Bureau of Fiscal Service in terms of bringing on more and more people, more and more agencies? Does it mean a heavier workload? Does it require you guys to have a bigger budget? Or is the impact just you got to manage more balls in the air, but really it's up to the vendors who support those agencies and those agencies to connect back to the IPP platform?
We've been planning for this eventuality for years. In terms of the software itself, we were planning for a world where we would handle perhaps tens of millions of invoices, so the capacity is built into the system to handle it. It's also built into our call center, which has sort of an expandable workforce that we can add to and subtract from as the call volumes change. In a lot of ways, we were prepared for this growth, so it is some additional workload, but frankly, the core infrastructure is in place for handling the workload.
Now, you went through that whole thing, and you didn't mention the cloud once, so congratulations. Usually somebody has to say, well, we're in the cloud, so it makes life easy. I'm sure you are in the cloud, right?
Actually, not.
Okay, well, there you go. That's why you didn't mention it.
No, this is one, a system that's in a very controlled environment that's maintained for us by the Federal Reserve with all the controls you'd expect in a system that handles vital financial information. So controls are critical, and it's in a very controlled environment.
I want to move over to the vendor side, because that's also a big number. I think last time we spoke about 11, 10 months ago, I think it was about 80,000 vendors. Now you're up to 100,000 vendors. Talk a little bit about what that means for the vendors who are now part of the IPP.
This is really where the transformation is most visible. If you think about vendors in the current configuration and in the old days, a vendor that did business with two agencies was really submitting invoices to two different locations, and when he or she needed to find status of payment or status of an invoice, they'd have to call around to different agencies in different places. Now, all of a sudden, with all the agencies or many of the agencies using a common system, that vendor can submit invoices to one place, ipp.gov, and the invoice gets routed appropriately to the agencies. When the vendor has questions about the status of his invoice or the status of his payment, he can go to that site, find exactly the status of that payment or that invoice, regardless of whether it's for agency A or agency B. So what you really see is what some people call network benefits. You begin to get these network benefits where a single supplier can have multiple agencies he serves, but can serve them really through a common portal in a standard format, a standard way of doing business, standard enrollment process. So in a lot of ways, the federal government is a lot easier to navigate because of this single view into the invoice processing space.
And on the vendor side, you described what it means for an agency to work with IPP. Vendors also sign an MOU or an MOA, and then what do they have to do on their end to start using it? Is it just a web-based platform that they get username, password, and the like?
It's a lot easier for the vendor because, frankly, all they have to do is sign an agreement. It's a very simple process. There is the establishment of passwords. Again, this is a very secure system, the establishment of passwords. But then instantly, the vendor can sign on to the site, has a home page, can submit invoices. In most cases, the vendor is typing in the invoice himself. It's really almost a one-shot kind of operation. For some vendors, of course, larger vendors, they might submit batch or bulk files. But in most cases, it's a simple website available through a portal.
And 100,000 seems like a lot, but we know that there's probably Do you get any sense if that's 50% of all vendors, if that's 20% of all vendors? What's the environment? What's the number you're really looking at that you hope that one day you'd be using IPP from a vendor perspective?
That's a very good question. Again, a back-of-the-envelope calculation would be that's probably two-thirds of active vendors. The key word here is active. And the reason I'm giving that back-of-the-envelope calculation, again, not a scientific calculation, but just an order-of-magnitude application, is every time we bring a new agency on board, we compare the vendors that agency does business with the vendors that are currently enrolled in IPP, and lately we've been finding that for whatever agency we bring on board, at least 60% of their vendors are already enrolled in IPP. So again, a back-of-the-envelope calculation suggesting that we're well over halfway there with enrolled vendors.
And I think that's a positive sign that people are understanding the benefits, seeing why they want to do this. One of the things you told me last time we spoke was when using IPP instead of paper, the time it takes to process is about 50% faster. So that means agencies get their bills off their books quicker. That means vendors get paid quicker. As more people come on, is that 50% number still your target, or is it higher, is it lower? What are some of the target goals, I guess, are you guys looking at to say we need to meet these milestones?
Well, we don't have any real milestones for savings, but we are monitoring it closely to make sure that, you know, the expectations we have are or at least we're trending in that direction. The 50% saving mark is actually holding up very well. Again, I mentioned that study we did it within Treasury, 50% savings. When we talk to other agencies, they can't quite quantify it as precisely as we did, because they're busy doing their work, but they're sort of anecdotally saying 50%. Where you're also seeing some real benefits is reduction in the number of late payment penalties. Again, I don't have any hard data on that, but again, very positive anecdotal data that agencies are seeing fewer numbers of late payment penalties.
And I know OMB, Office of Federal Procurement Policy, has put out several memos over the last 4 or 5 years talking about paying small businesses and subcontractors and get it done in 30 days or 60 days, whatever the timing was. So the penalties are real. I mean, agencies do probably spend a fair amount of money on those penalties because processing an invoice by paper, as we know, takes longer. The system itself, the platform itself, you've been upgrading ever since, I think, 2008. Mm-hmm. What does this mean? When you bring on more people, more agencies, does this mean you need to upgrade the platform? And what are some of the planned upgrades maybe over the next year, 2 years?
We've been modifying the system continually since 2008. We have a very active user group composed of members from all the agencies that use IPP, and what we do is we meet a couple times a year, and they suggest changes to IPP, and we take those inputs and really come up with a work plan for the coming year. Frankly, lately we've been able to accommodate most of those changes when there is a sort of majority of support for them. Frankly, off the top of my head, I can't think of any of the next ones coming up. So much energy now is really focused on working with the agencies in a very direct manner, bringing them on board IPP, training up their staff, and helping them with these interfaces to get the agencies on board.
You talked about the user group, it's really the governance process. As you add more people on, governance becomes a lot harder. Have you guys started talking about how to deal with that, some of the bigger dogs that come into play, and whether it's HHS or EPA, who says, hey, we are processing X amount of billions of dollars for your system, we should have a bigger say, or we want this change. How do you start finding that right balance?
We haven't had a problem so far.
but you haven't had that many big agencies either, so all of a sudden it's compounded, right?
But I will say, like any kind of change control board, they are energetic meetings. We always seem to reach consensus, and frankly, the agencies are very understanding. They understand that they are sharing a software package with a variety of other agencies of different size and different scope and different purpose. And frankly, at the end of the day, at the end of usually a very energetic change control board meeting, we usually end up with a set of changes that seems to satisfy all the parties.
And that's probably one of your biggest challenges going forward, is as you grow, there's more complexity that comes in. One of the things about this effort is, I mentioned it earlier in our conversation, is about the OMB memo that came out of about June timeframe of 2015, requiring every agency to move to an electronic invoice processing platform of sorts. What's your role in that memo? Meaning, here we are about 9 months later. What's happening with that memo from your perspective with the IPP?
For us, it's been very simple. We are just making IPP available to any agency that is interested and really creating, I think, a very easy and cost-effective way for any agency to comply with the memo. So we're doing what we've always done, which is to really be out there, sort of in the public space, available to agencies who are contemplating different software packages, different invoicing solutions, and being very accessible to them if they have questions about IPP. What we've seen an uptick in lately is agencies who want to learn more about IPP. And one thing we've done is host a monthly session here in the Treasury Building, where agencies can come by, and we go into detail, probably a 1.5 hour, 2 hour presentation on IPP with our experts. The agencies bring their experts and ask a lot of questions, try to understand exactly how hard is it to implement, what does it mean, what are some of the challenges, what are some of the lessons learned. And we've seen those sessions grow in popularity from one or two attendees to lately probably on the order of 15 to 25 attendees. Also a lot of just email traffic, questions that come into our website and that sort of thing. There are a couple of agencies where we are visiting them on site. There's been one agency in particular that I think we visited probably 3 or 4 times, and each time having 6 hour sessions perhaps going into detail. And again, for a lot of agencies, this is an important decision, because this is invoice really is, when you think about it, is the relationship between a private supplier and a federal government procurement. So it's much more than just a financial transaction. It is a business relationship between a supplier and a purchaser, and you want to do that right. And that's why a lot of agencies naturally take this very carefully.
When you've gone through these sessions and you've spent 6 hours with an agency talking about this, what's the advice or what's the message you would send back to agencies who maybe haven't signed the MOU yet, but maybe are thinking about it, or maybe are saying we can go our own way on this even, which is obviously a much bigger lift?
I think the lesson is a really simple one, and that is, we've been doing this electronic invoicing, since 2007, 2008, so getting close to 10 years. We've got close to 100 agencies on board. This is a product that has been really, I think, battle-tested in a whole lot of different agency environments and represents, over the years, sort of the combined wisdom and the combined experience of hundreds of procurement and acquisition and financial folks across a variety of agencies, all sort of embodied in this code that has evolved and developed over those years. So very unlike an off-the-shelf package that might have been designed for commercial acquisitions, this is really very much tailored to the very unique world of acquisition in the federal space. So that would be, I think, the differentiating factor between IPP and perhaps other suppliers. And the other is what I mentioned earlier, and that is the network benefits. When you have 100,000 suppliers enrolled and when you have 13 other agencies using the system, you become part of an invoicing community where your agency benefits because other agencies are using the same package. Your suppliers benefit because they now can not only access you, but communicate by invoices with other agencies. So you get this network benefit that you get from kind of any sort of internet-based solution. Yeah.
Similarly, at the same time, you have a lot of vendors, you have about 30 to 40% who aren't quite using it either. Mm-hmm. What's your message to them when you talk to vendors who are saying, maybe we'll use it, maybe we won't, we're not sure? What kind of message do you have to them?
Actually, vendors are probably the most positively inclined towards IPP, and for a very simple reason. And that is because of Treasury's unique position of making the payments. Treasury, of course, makes all the disbursements to vendors, when they submit an invoice. The IPP platform enables the vendor to instantly see the status of their payments. So whether or not your agency uses IPP, you can still enroll in IPP and see the status of your payments. And in a lot of ways, that's why our number of vendors has grown so quickly, is vendors have discovered that, in fact, this is one way to find out exactly, where is my payment associated with this invoice? When can I expect to see it? And that is a benefit that they get from IPP instantly when they enroll.